Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Shed for me upon the cross of Calvary. It flowed down from his hands and feet and stained the stones that lay upon the ground.
It's still the same today. The blood that never lost its power.
It can wash a sinner clean.
It's still the same today.
The thief that hung beside the Lord cried unto him, remember me. The Savior looked at him and said, today with me in paradise you'll be.
It's still the same today. The blood that never lost its power.
It can wash the vilest sinner clean.
It's still the same today.
Just like the thief so long ago,
Over the last few programs, I've been teaching on the finished work of the cross, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and assurance of salvation. And most people need to understand that when it comes to salvation, the work is done by Jesus himself. There is nothing we can do except take it by faith. The Bible teaches us to repent and be converted so that your sins may be washed away. And that means to turn away from our ways of trying to appease God and turning to Jesus. The word repent there means to turn away from your wicked ideas on how to get saved, because that's what they are. They're wicked. And the Bible teaches us there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. So if a person tries to enter into the kingdom of God through his own righteousness, through his own good works, the Bible calls it wicked works. And the authority of God will declare in the end that these people who try to get into the kingdom through their own efforts, through their own good works, they will have to be rejected by God, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, just like the first world that was destroyed by a flood. For the authority of God has been placed into the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and anyone who tries to bypass that will have to suffer the consequences of his choice. So I want you to urge you to seek out your salvation. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 9, there is a place of rest for the people of God, and we need to labor, therefore, to enter into that rest so that we do not fall into unbelief. And it's not talking about the rest in heaven. It's talking about a rest that comes in your belief when you believe and trust in the finished work of the cross. That is when you enter into a rest, when it is settled in your heart that your salvation is not from your own power. It comes from the power of God through what Jesus did on the cross for us. And if we accept that and believe that, then we become citizens of heaven. But the Bible also teaches us that we need to walk righteously and holy when we do have this Jesus. Yes, believing in Jesus for your salvation by faith in the finished work is great. But when it comes to this life and pleasing God with your life, we need to live a holy, godly life. And today I will teach on that subject. And people need to pay attention. If we do not walk in holiness and while we're saved, then we can fall into a lot of problems, as scriptures will indicate and will testify of. So before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I pray, Lord, that you will open people's hearts to this message so that they will understand. I thank you, O Heavenly Father, for your grace. And I ask you, Lord, to anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the years, I have listened to different preachers on the radio and sometimes in different churches where a pastor will get up and preach a message that will mix the grace and works together. They will mix the grace of salvation and the works that we do once we're saved. They will mix them together and people become confused. Because one day they're saved, the other day they're not, because they don't live up to the standards of the Bible that the Bible demands when you walk in holiness. Salvation gives us a rest. But in that rest, we need to walk in holiness so that we are pleasing to God. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." So here are the scriptures that teach us that we do not walk like the Gentiles walk or like the unbeliever walk. in the lust of their minds, in the lust of their flesh, in greediness and uncleanness. It tells us if you do that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ. Anybody who walks in a unholy lifestyle and claims to be a Christian, the Bible here in Ephesians will put doubt on that guy's Christianity, because it asks, if you do that, maybe you have not heard Christ or have been taught by him. So this is what every person needs to understand. If there's no change in a person's life when it comes to a lifestyle, if he's still into all sorts of vice, pornography and drunkenness and all of that stuff, I'm not saying you're not going to fall into it, but if that's your lifestyle, then the Bible will question whether you have heard the voice of Jesus when you were saved. Did you really turn to him in repentance? In Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 22, it tells us that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And it tells us, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It tells us to put on a new man. We now serve a different master. We don't serve the flesh. We serve a new spirit that is holy and pure. See, there is always a fight. The soul has to make a choice. We have to make a choice between the renewed spirit that is within us in where Jesus dwells, or in the flesh where Satan dwells. When we look at the temple was made of three parts. There was the outer courts, there was the holy place, and the holy of holies. And into the outer courts, the Gentiles could come. So, at the same time, into your flesh, the demonic realm can dwell there and cause a lot of trouble. So you need to put off that old man and be renewed, casting down every evil imaginations and bringing them into subjection. The Bible is very clear on these things. Once you're born again, you're in a fight. You're in a battle to live a godly, holy life. Not that it's going to affect your salvation, but it's going to affect your walk with God. It's going to even affect your walk with other Christians. In Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 25, it tells us, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be you angry and sin not. The Bible teaches, you can get angry, but don't allow that anger to fester in you. There are people who call themselves Christians who walk around with grudges against people. It tells us, don't allow that. Turn that sin off. Turn that anger off. Give it to Jesus. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So it's constantly reminding us here on how to operate. Once we're born again by the Spirit of God, we need to walk in holiness and not give place to the devil. The Bible teaches us that we should not make provisions for the flesh. If you know where you fail when you are in certain places, stay away from those places. If you have problems with anything that causes you to walk in sin, then you need to avoid those places. I remember years ago, before I was a Christian, I would be basically the life of the party. I would plan drunken parties with my friends, but after I became a Christian, I started to avoid and plan how I can escape these places of sin. So God wants us to understand that we have the power to escape these places, and He will give us the power. We don't have to be enslaved to them. And then it tells in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may be able to give to him that needs. So this is one of the reasons why God wants us to work, so we can help the needy when they are down and out. Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then it goes on to say, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So Jesus is teaching us, we need to walk in holiness. We need to get rid of these vices that we used to walk in before we were born again by the Spirit of God. Because if we do walk in sin, if we do not try to turn away from that stuff, then we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which we are sealed unto the day of redemption. For you are God's workmanship. We are God's purchased possession. And He wants us to live a holy, godly life, not walking in all types of vice and in all types of sin. For we don't belong to the devil anymore. We belong to God, like it says here. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So your salvation stands secure, even if you live this lifestyle. But God is pleading with us to walk in holiness, because if we don't, we'll have to suffer the consequences. Many Christians are ensnared in sin, and we have seen it over the years, how even pastors who fall into terrible sin, and the whole world makes a mockery out of them. So let us stay away from these terrible things that bring destruction to the flesh. The Bible teaches us even to pray for people who walk like that, give them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh to the saving of their soul. He even tells us to pray like that for people who don't walk in holiness, so that they will have no protection from our prayers, but Satan will be able to get at them, so that they will be reminded that God means business and He loves them, and they need to turn to the Savior of their souls. So this is a very interesting message. People need to walk according to Scripture. A lot of times we fail, but we do not need to be discouraged. God is there interceding for us. And the day will come when we will have a new body, when these sins will be far from us. We will never even think of them anymore. If we open our heart to God today, we can train ourselves to walk in holiness. So let the Lord open your heart to these interesting truths and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
My buddies tell me that I should have waited. They say a whole world of fun, but I am happy and singing with pride. I like
Christian life. I like the Christian life.
In this segment of the program, I want to teach you how the Bible teaches us not only to stay away from sin, but also how to persevere in following God, in operating in the will of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 5, it tells us, "Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." And charity means love. So not only does God want us to stay away from sin, but He also wants us to improve our character, so that we can be a blessing to people around us. Virtue and godly temperance and brotherly kindness one to another. It is a very interesting scripture when we study it. It doesn't only talk about salvation. Yes, salvation, to my opinion, it's the most important part of this word. But all scriptures are bound together. They give each other compliments. We can teach these things. Salvation is something that Jesus gives us, and walking in holiness is something that we do for ourselves and for other people, and we are then pleasing to God. The Bible teaches us if we add faith and virtue to our life, then in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 8, for it tells us, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." Very interesting. God will open our eyes and our minds to the truth and the knowledge of Jesus if we walk in holiness, and if we pursue these godly principles that God wants us to have. But there is a warning also in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 9. "But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." So here is a very clear scripture for all people to pay attention to. If you don't walk in holiness, if you don't walk in a pleasing lifestyle manner to God, if you don't add to your faith virtue, godliness, holiness, and brotherly kindness, then there will come a day when you will doubt your salvation. You will doubt whether you have been purged from your old sin. And this we sometimes see in older people. They get discouraged. They have neglected to follow the principles of God. And now they're not even sure whether they're truly born again or not. And this, the Bible teaches us here, is exactly what will happen. So I urge everyone to keep trusting God, believing in Him, having a relationship with Him. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Spend time with God. Never mind these worldly idols that we have. There are many Christians who fall into the trap of going after the idolatries of this world. And when they get older, they start to question their salvation. That is not good. As you get older, you should be more and more assured that you belong to God. I, for myself, I am rejoicing in Jesus on a daily basis. I cannot wait for the Lord to appear so that he can take us unto himself. The Bible teaches us that the Apostle Paul said, "Henceforth I am ready to be offered, and I'm waiting for that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that's not only for me," he said, "for all them that love his appearing. This crown of righteousness will be given to them that love the idea that Jesus could come at any moment." So we need to open our hearts and our eyes and our ears to these facts and become a blessing to ourselves. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You are my